Mike, you would not believe how much email we are getting. People are in love with your portrayal of Amber Fry. let's see. Mike is way too good at the whiny woman voice.
Uh-oh.
His mms are great. Awesome. How can the jury keep a straight face while listening to these tapes? I've never heard anything more cheesier in my life.
Boy, you know it.
Have you guys heard the actual audios? I'm willing to bet that Scott Peterson is pushing his voice on those phone calls.
I'll bet you he probably is.
Hey, Drew and Mike, I was curious as to how Amber and Scott's conversations were recorded. Did she record them? No. The feds recorded them when she went to the feds and told them that she was having an affair with Scott Peterson, who she finally learned had this missing wife. They sat her down and basically told her that he was a suspect in Lacey's murder, and she agreed, of course, being very much the woman scorned at that point. Well, she'd been lied to big time. He had told her that Lacey was dead. So she, being angry, decided, well, I'm not saying she wouldn't have done it anyway, but she decided, yeah, I'll do that. So she let them tape her phone calls. And that's why we have these transcripts. However, you do learn in these transcripts, I think it's quite apparent that she still thinks she may be in love with Scott Peterson.
No question about it. As a matter of fact, so much so that yesterday they were interviewing her attorney, Gloria Allred, who they asked her about that, and she reluctantly admitted that, yeah, there's definitely emotional attachment there, and she was in love with him, and it was very difficult for her to do these phone calls because she did have feelings for him. So it's true, and you can hear it. You know?
Well, let's. Do you know where you left
off? Yeah, we're ready to go.
Okay.
All right, at the top of page 30, is that a big Roger?
That's a Roger.
I don't think that we've ever been analyzing our relationship.
No, we haven't been at all.
But just, you know, I guess finding our, for me anyway, just finding those guidelines or those boundaries that we have. Because, you know, like I said before when I asked you, is there anyone else, you know, what was your response?
With you, I am so happy that no.
No, there is nobody else?
Yeah.
And that,
you know, but even that, I can you with that.
Well, I wanted...
And you didn't have to ask, and...
But I had to hear it.
Yeah, yeah, and I know. Well, I mean, like, I don't know, but I don't have to ask that of you. You know, I just want to flow together. And I don't need a title with you, you know? Commitment from you. I just feel that.
Feel what?
What's that?
Oh, I thought you feel... You just feel that...
No.
There?
I just feel from you the caring and the compassion. The compassion and enough commitment from you to me. You know, I would never have to ask. I am confident enough.
Not to...
But that's just me. I'm not analyzing, not to ask, you know, what are you looking for from me? Or it's gonna just flow naturally.
I understand.
This is the biggest weasel job on his part.
Is it ever?
No, why can't
ever?
Why can't he just say, you're my girlfriend? Or, you know, we have a commitment, or I won't see anybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, he just doesn't seem to want to even say we have a commitment.
That's right. And the attorneys do point out that he never says that he loves her, ever.
You know, I noticed that. Because on those previous calls, you know, I thought at the end of the call he'd say, I love you.
Yeah,
or something,
sure.
But he doesn't. And she doesn't either.
Oh, that's interesting that she... Yeah, okay.
Because Garagos is desperately trying to portray him as just a player. But I'm sorry, these transcripts are not going to fly in terms of that whole player routine. Because it's obvious anybody that sits through these kind of conversations and talks about a relationship to this level is no player.
Oh,
a player,
you know it.
Is basically going to tell her, hey, look, here's what I want to do tonight. I want you to wear this, 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 this.
Yep.
And why don't you make a stop by Lover's Lane on your way home and pick up this.
Yeah.
They don't sit around and talk about this crap.
No, no.
All right. By the way, do you know what the date is on this call? Are we still on, like, January 1st? 2003.
I think we're around there because
yeah, I think we are
later
too.
On she's going to ask about New Year's resolutions yet again. So we are floating around that period still, no question about it.
And that would be 7 days after his wife, his pregnant wife with his first child, Connor, has gone missing.
Isn't that something? Seven days
after prosecutors believe he murdered his wife, Lacey.
Isn't that incredible?
He is calling.
Wow.
immediately following. Part of the call is actually during a candlelight vigil. There are previous calls during candlelight vigils for Lacey Peterson.
And nobody can handle that. Nobody can believe that. That's just awful.
We are now at a point where the candlelight vigil has ended, and he is still on the phone with Amber Fry. There are 241 calls altogether.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's
staggering.
Pretty amazing. And that's over, I think, is that over a 70-day period, something like that?
I'm not sure about
that. I think there's something like 4 calls a day on the average. But there's days where there's 13, 14 calls.
Wow.
And mind you, for a lot of this time, she's not seeing him because he's claiming to be in Paris and Brussels and Guadalajara. And he's got some crazy way of... He's got some system set up where she has to dial all these extra numbers, and she is led to believe, and at one point, before the police tell her, she believes she's talking to him in Paris.
Yeah, because of that phone number. It looks like a European number.
Isn't that something?
It really is.
Anyway,
and in fact, isn't he like 90 miles away?
Yeah, he's 90 miles away in Modesto. You want to pick it up from there?
I think we're on the top with you, and it has.
Yes. Okay, though, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, and it will.
I understand. I do.
That's a beautiful thing to happen. And you asked me, you know, for how long?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know a timetable to, at least I hope there's not, or blossoming relationship with us. You know, it happens. It just needs to happen naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you need?
Hmm?
And you need a timetable?
A what?
Like an immediate timetable?
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you one. I'll just, you know, come and finally we'll know. That's all I can say.
Scott?
Yeah?
It has been so wonderful to be able to finally talk to you.
It is nice.
You know, I told you before you could call me anytime.
Yeah?
You know, if your days are busy and you're, you know, involved with your meetings about numbers and finances.
Yeah?
You know, is the only time you can find is now or, you know, later, call me. I mean, that's almost even a better time because Ayanna's asleep and I'm not having to fuss with her.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, so...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so please keep that in mind that here she goes.
Oh,
please,
boy.
Keep that in mind that you could call me anytime. You know, if I'm in a session, of course, my phone will be off, but you can leave me a message. I always enjoy, you know, hearing from you.
Yeah, I always do. I always do. Static. I could call you and leave a message, huh? He's got to love that idea.
Oh, brother, you know it.
When I call?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you get my messages?
Yeah, I heard one.
Yeah, is that the one about not going to San Francisco because Denise has to be breastfed?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God, Denise, are you kidding me? She's like, well, I can't. I want to, but I can't. I mean, it's just, and... Germilia finally called me today. Can you believe that? He did not call me. The last time I talked to him was on Friday when I went to his work, and he said we were definitely going to Hawaii. And then I didn't hear from him until today. He said he gave the money to somebody and a friend, and I said I couldn't believe he gave it to him. Excuse me. And then he said, well, if you want to go again, Lance, let me know, and I'll give you the money. And I was like, oh, my God. I go, why didn't you call me? And he said, what am I going to say? You know, what was there time for me to say? You know, I gave the money to somebody and they effed me.
Wow. She swore.
Oh, boy, did she ever. And they effed me. He was cussing left and right. It was kind of hilarious because he was so pissed about it.
Yeah.
After all that.
That's what he says.
And,
did you give him the money?
No, I didn't give him any money.
Oh, you hadn't given him any money?
No. Uh-uh. No, he said he gave him $5,000 for the tickets for the hotel arrangements and everything, and they took it all. And there was no Fashion Fair Travel is who he thought he gave it to this guy and his aunt is no longer there. It was a place, but she's not there. And I said, I can't believe you would even trust or lose such a scam on stuff because he's done so many scams together. I've heard all their stories and it's funny, but I laughed. I said, I can't believe you even gave him $5,000. So it was, it was funny, but so anyway, I was glad he called because I was really, you know, upset that he hadn't called me for so many days and we were supposed to have left on the 28th, so.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, Scott.
He is so not listening. That's crazy. So, Scott.
So, Scott.
Uh-huh.
Have you thought of your New Year's resolution since you talked to me?
This again?
Again. She's been through this a million times.
You're asking me for my resolution again?
Huh?
Did you ask for my resolution again?
Yes.
Come on now.
All right, well, I won't.
Do you recognize that it's 9 o'clock here?
It's early.
Okay, he is claiming
that's right.
He is in, at this point, is it Paris?
Paris, I would say, yeah. I would say it's Paris right
and
here.
And he is, this is, I think he's doing this to get himself off, where he is describing the time change.
Right.
And how different the time is where he is versus where she is, because she would never know the difference. In fact,
no,
if I had to guess, I would think that Amber Fry is the one person in the world who does think time is the same everywhere. So,
yeah.
I mean, don't you get the impression that he's just doing that just to sort of go, aren't I smart?
Oh, no question. He just goes to show you the length of which, I mean, look how far this guy goes to lie. Basically, he thinks everything through, doesn't he? He tries to cross every T.
Yeah.
Which is what he tried to do with a murder, didn't he?
Well, he did pretty darn good. I mean, when you think about it, the only problems that they really had, or that he really had, is that hair in the pliers.
Yep.
The smell of bleach in the house. The crumpled up carpet. The purse on the hook in the closet, which I think women found unusual. They didn't think that a woman would put a purse on a hook in a closet while she was going out to walk a dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would have to agree, but I don't think he knew what to do with that. This is kind of strange. Did you know he was real anal, real clean?
No, clean freak.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was.
Ah.
In fact, that's why they had trouble believing that she had just mopped the kitchen floor when they got there.
Because
the kitchen floor had just been mopped, and he claimed that Lacey had just mopped it. And I think the cleaning lady had come the day before or something like that. So they didn't understand, why would Lacey have mopped the kitchen floor?
Yeah, he thinks he's smart.
He's just told her, he's once again tried to impress himself by telling her, or asking her, do you recognize that it's 9 o'clock here?
It's early.
In the morning. I got to be at the hotel at 7, just after 7, and, you know, I set my alarm, and I'm glad it woke me up because I've wanted to talk to you all of this week.
Well, how long has it been?
What's that?
Hmm?
Well, I was just saying that my mind is not functioning at peak ability.
So when will you be functioning at peak ability?
I don't know. Not for days now.
Ah!
And don't discount anything I've said.
I won't.
Don't take it like that, okay?
Okay. Thank you for saying that, because I was going to say, well, wait a minute.
Oh, God. Oh, God, no.
Huh?
No, everything I've said is, it's so crazy, it's true. Our relationship will grow, and when it's the right time, slowly, it will be very beautiful.
What an ass.
So it will be shortly before my birthday. I will see you?
I should be back to see you the 25th or the 26th, in between, when I get back to the U.S. and leave for Guadalajara.
And the first would put us at 3 weeks?
Yeah, or a little longer.
Or a little longer?
Yeah, a little longer. It'll go by fast.
I certainly hope so.
Please, please, please let it go by fast. Tell me, what's your favorite movie?
What's that?
Your favorite movie.
My favorite movie?
Yeah, Bubble Boy.
That one's pretty funny.
Bubble Boy? She agrees?
She agrees.
Yeah, that one's pretty funny.
these two.
Oh, my God.
in a weird way, they really were meant to be together.
Yeah, they were. It is almost beautiful that this pair met.
Yeah.
In spite of the fact that, you know what? He would have killed Lacey whether he met Amber Fry or not.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen Bubble Boy. It's an average to below average comedy. It has its funny moments, but I got to tell you, if you told me that there was one individual on this entire planet who thought Bubble Boy was their favorite movie, I would have been very surprised before I read this.
And here it is. It's Scott Peterson.
No, it's Amber Fry's favorite movie.
Well, she says it's pretty funny.
Yeah, he does. He does.
That one's pretty funny.
Oh, wait a second. Amber Fry says, my favorite movie, and Scott Peterson says, yeah, Bubble Boy. And then she says, that one's pretty funny. So he's kind of implying that Bubble Boy is her favorite movie.
Oh, okay. Well,
and then she says, really, yeah, that one's pretty funny.
Hey, Ronnie, what's your favorite?
Yeah, give me, I'll take... just give me a favorite, or I'll specify genre.
What was that?
Your favorite movie.
My favorite movie?
Uh-huh.
One that I've seen often? Well, the most recent would be Bubble Boy. I'm very, very fond.
This can't be true. Someone is messing with the transcript. This can't be real. Bubble Boy.
Would it be Bubble Boy? I'm very fond of the new Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it took me a while. The first time I didn't like it, but it grew on me.
Uh-huh.
I think I cry every time when I see it. Certain scenes just... I just can't help but cry. What? What?
What scenes?
Oh, the one. Have you seen it?
I don't think so.
Well, when you get to the one when they're in the water...
But I know the story, obviously, so...
Well, they're in the swimming pool, so that might not be in it. And he confesses his love for her, and she's confesses him.
Oh, I wonder if the cops have led her down this path, because they're talking about a confession here. Isn't that kind of interesting?
We'll see. Yeah. Yeah.
That seems just a little too...
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
That does sound like a... It does sound like that's deliberate.
The fact that Amber Fry brings up the fact that they're in the swimming pool, so that might not be in it, and he confesses his love for her, and she confesses... Well, that's a different kind of confession, though.
Well, we'll see if it leads to something.
Interesting word choice.
Yeah,
though.
No, it is. It is.
So it's a modern remake of, okay, I'll have to see it.
That has to be my favorite movie.
Huh?
That whole scene, and I wish I could quote it, but I can't.
Okay.
But that has to be my favorite.
Why did you say okay?
I have no idea. It doesn't even fit.
I wish I could quote it, but I can't. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you think he'd say, that's too bad, or something like
that. I know
that,
it.
But,
it
of
doesn't...
course, you know he is so delighted that she can't quote that scene.
No question. But it's a ridiculous response.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that has to be by far my favorite. Plus, there's a song in which, when they first encounter, the song alone that just begins the whole, like, you know, lump in your throat and stuff, it's that... That would have to be the one that really gets me. I mean, every time.
Uh-huh.
What I was going to ask, what book were... Did you finish the book you were reading?
Yeah.
What book was that?
Jack Cadillac. And it was... Jack Kerouac.
Jack Cadillac. Cadillac.
Okay, he is obviously lying again, because anybody who's read Jack Kerouac knows it's not Jack Cadillac. Come on. My God. It's not even spelled with a C.
And he's been reading the book. He's been picking it up every day.
I mean, yeah, right. You know, exactly.
I mean, he's looking at that all the time.
Jack Cadillac. And it was letters he had written while hitchhiking across the country. He's the author of, what's the book? And I think it was during the late 60s. He hitchhiked from New York to San Francisco. He wrote that book. It's like a famous literature piece.
So...
It's called On the Road, by the way. It also is hitchhiking. The hitchhiking took place in the 50s. No, in the 40s. The hitchhiking was in the 40s. He wrote it in the mid-50s. And he wrote it on methadrine. He took methadrine and,
really?
Typed, and typed this thing for like, I think he typed for three straight days.
Just a speed
freak.
Yeah,
on one scroll.
Oh my God, just a speeding nut job.
And this is a hilarious sidebar. The owner of the Indianapolis Colts bought the scroll of Jack Kerouac's On the Road. And this guy's had a few problems here and there. But anyway, the curators of On the Road are furious right now. because he's got this scroll just kind of sitting in his family room. And when they were over there talking to him, he spilled a drink right near it.
Oh, no.
And was also smoking cigarettes right near this 50-year-old scroll. I mean, it's supposed to be kept in a case.
Yeah, sure, sure,
and,
yeah.
You know, he's smoking cigarettes near it. He's spilling drinks on it. I mean, pathetic. No. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
So, the hitchhiking part, though, he does have some of that right.
I'm sorry.
I can't think of it right now.
That's okay. Good book, though. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was interesting because it's at least, he was not geographically, but mentally interesting to me because I never had a prolonged period of freedom like that from responsibility. And, you know, interesting to me and something that you could incorporate into life.
Jack Cadillac?
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
I'll have to look into that book. I'll have to look into it so that I can be on the same page as you.
That's interesting. Prosecutors are quite fascinated by the fact that this whole business of he's never had a feeling of freedom, a prolonged feeling of freedom in his life,
mm-hmm.
that he's always somehow felt tied down. And he describes that, you know, I've never had a prolonged period of freedom like that, you know, like they describe in his book.
Yep.
So I don't know whether the jurors will read anything of that, but anyway, after the giggling, that's your line.
I could hear the song in the background. Can you, or my hero song by Julian Iglesias song?
Oh, my God. Hero by... that's not Julio Iglesias, that's the son.
Enrique.
Enrique Iglesias. Her favorite song is Enrique Iglesias' Hero. Oh, please. Oh, my God. Did you see the next line?
Oh, yeah, singing.
Oh, he says, oh, yeah, and then he's singing along with Hero.
And she joins him.
Oh, yeah. I love this tune.
You could take my breath away. That's all I can remember.
Oh, you'll do very good out there. Take that mic.
No, they were trying to earlier, and I said, oh, no, I've already done this, and it was bad.
No, hopefully you'll go sing.
So you had, I told you earlier, my hand was over Sean's mouth. She was so bad.
Boy, that is the page right after. Boy, look at this. Switch gears here.
Mm-hmm.
She was so bad, and Doug was like, oh, my. He goes, that was good. I wish I took a picture, but nobody had the film. Well, they have cameras and videotape, but nobody videotaped that. But my hand was over her mouth the whole song because I could not listen to the song with her. It was bad. Oh, she's all... I go, Sean, you sound really bad. She said, I know, I'm really wasted. She doesn't get wasted very often. She's a lightweight, and that's an understatement.
Yeah, so how are you doing?
I mean, I've drank three drinks, three cocktails, and almost four. Actually, I think I'm very clear-minded, though. I think I'm, you know, at least I'll ask you, am I slurring?
No, you sound fine.
I guess I was just so excited. You know, I, the anticipation to hear from him was just, you know.
Oh.
I was just praying that, I was like, oh, you know, God, please let this phone call go through. And like, all I ask is 20 minutes, please, that's it. I said, anything more than that will be a blessing. And so it truly is that because I know it's been so frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thankful to get to hear from you because at least I know you're thinking of me and you're calling to say goodnight and...
Yeah.
And it's so, you know, it's frustrating to hear all this static and no connection and, you know, and then to hear it clear but still not be able to hear anything and then it's static in here, you know, it... So I'm...
Could you hear me the last time I called?
I heard you. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, the anticipation after that, like, you know, to be able... And it's like, you know, like I said, I was praying that I could talk to you and be able to have a conversation because it's just been so frustrating. Not, you know, it's just been so stressful and I haven't been able to talk to you and it's been so, not so long, but I mean, certainly long enough and you know that I get to see you.
Yeah.
And it's been hard.
Definitely. Well, thank you. That's nice of you and stuff.
You know, I'm thankful that it's been my days have been so busy and crazy with family and then work and, you know, all that. I've at least been occupied but thankful to be around you when you call. It's just amazing how have been thankful for that. And
yeah, we're very lucky, no doubt.
You know, and just trying to stay positive and go to church. I was going to say, you know, what they had talked about, just, you know, what we had talked about, or how I was saying I had a hard, you know, things I was having a hard time with. With trust, with you, and everything, you know. Sunday, so many things were cleared out of my mind, and to me, that really, you know, I just turned everything over and kept that in mind to turn over things to God, and that, you know, those things are my past, and, you know, all that's important is, you know, right now in this relationship that I have with you and my daughter. I mean, first and foremost, my daughter.
Yeah, of course.
And my, you know, do you believe this?
No,
woman?
No, I don't.
On and
I don't.
On and
I don't.
On.
Oh, God, we got to take a break. She's never going to
you
stop.
You know it.
Let's mark this page. Good God.
Oh,
I cannot believe this.
This is, like I say, God forbid, but you feel sorry for him.
I know, we're both feeling sorry for a murderer.
Oh, my.
Because he has to listen to this bimbo.
Windbag.
How could, you know, I
what
don't care.
Bunch
how
of much, blah, blah, blah.
I don't care how much sex there is. I don't care how good the sex there is. This couldn't possibly be worth it.
Oh, my God, no.
What
it
torture.
Wouldn't be. No, I couldn't take that. I could not take that.
All right, we're going to take a 5-minute break.